Welcome to the Assembly of Silence Radio Hour. This audio program has been carefully packed to the legal limit with a weekly allowance of non-governmentally approved deep thoughts per square minute of podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Judah and Noah.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Assembly of Silence Radio Hour. The number 7 has a significance of separation. The 7th generation. They would plan 7 generations because it's futile to plan 8 generations. By the time you get 7 generations down, it's a completely different mindset, a completely different situation, so it's separate from where you are right now. September, I think, was originally, if I remember correctly, the 7th month. We used to start the year back in the vernal equinox, equal night and day, when things start to grow again, to come back, to become fertile, to multiply, the regeneration cycle. But now we begin our years in the winter, in the death. It makes sense to begin it in either place. It's just a matter of where you're thinking of the beginning being. So one is sort of a little bit more life-oriented, beginning in the spring, and the other one is a little bit more of a death culture type of thing. All this about 7. So the 7th episode here is a separation from the rest of the episodes we've had thus far, because I'm all alone here. Judah couldn't make it. We couldn't figure out how to squeeze another recording session in before the end of the year, so I'm flying solo here, and we're going to do something entirely different. I'm going to lean on some of my previous activities in life, and for better or worse, fill the hour with, in this case, the only piece of radio art I ever produced. I know there's probably not a lot of people out there who think about radio art as even being something, but there are a few people who have made some interesting radio art pieces, I guess you might say. And somewhere in the 2000s, I knew this guy, I believe his name was Maximilian Goldfarb, and he asked me to produce a piece for this mobile radio unit. He outfitted a truck with a radio transmitter, and he parked it in a Walmart parking lot and broadcast all kinds of crazy stuff. I really don't know what else was on the program there, but he asked me to do this thing, and I was single at the time and had insomnia just as I do now, so I put together a piece kind of with, I guess, the radio art that I know of. Some of it is kind of comedy-oriented, so I think of Firesign Theater maybe as being radio art. They were not just comedy. They were definitely interested in ideas and had a kind of, I guess, sort of political dimension to their work as well, but it was also incredibly brilliantly produced. And so that was an inspiration, and I guess maybe Joe Frank also, who's probably the best-known radio artist. Has done a lot of, I guess I'd say, kind of more personal type of work. He's sort of like a confessional artist. Definitely worth checking into, but not too deeply. And that might be the case with this piece as well. At the time, I was thinking a lot about, I think it was early 2000s, I was getting more and more aware of the criminal behavior happening at very high levels of society, and getting aware of the problems that were happening within the financial industry and that sort of thing. And so I was kind of thinking about criminal behavior, and I knew this mystical linguist, I think I mentioned in a previous episode, named Lawrence Lyons, who was talking about the etymology of criminal having something to do with sifting. So I was thinking about those ideas and kind of the long history of criminality in human activity. I had heard a rabbi talking about how the people of the law, which he meant the Jews, were particularly adept at breaking it. So he was talking about how kind of the story that is continually being repeated over and over in the Old Testament is of a new law being established and a new group of people figuring out how to break it. So there's a long and venerable, you might say, tradition of criminal behavior within our species. So that was something I was thinking about, and it was basically an improvised piece that I patched together, and I wanted to see if I could do different voices. So it's all my voices, and I have to say that the net result is something that I still find somewhat disturbing to this day. So I have no idea how this would play for people. I don't think I've really ever played it for anyone, but it's the lengthiest piece I ever did, so I thought it would fill time nicely. Because I don't have much time to do this, and I'm just going to see what it's like. So here you go. This is a piece called Manaclepto, and I'll be interested to know if anyone thinks it's interesting. Enjoy it, and hopefully this will not happen too much anymore. I think if Judah tunes in and listens to this, he'll be more inclined to make sure that we get together and record things together. Nevertheless, Manaclepto.
So we're hanging out in the garden. You know, heaven's great. It's just, it's beautiful. There's fruit trees sort of nibbling on the vegetables. Everything's great. No worries. But then this whole other group starts showing up. And they're pretty rough. And they come in and they take it over. You know, like all the stuff that they were relying on. They won't let us get near it. So they can shut it out from the garden.
Man.
Alright, now what do we do?
Born from a theft. The Promethean theft of fire.
So, imagine if you will, the following scenario where some people are gaining benefit from the rules and the customs that are put in place.
With which you rule the earth.
Others are not deriving the same kind of benefit. And therefore, some of them will engage in some kind of criminal activity, which is to say...
How can you judge
activity
the criminal
that goes against rules and customs?
When all you are...
Which puts them at greater risk.
And all you do...
But at the same time, since they're playing by different rules...
Stems from a theft.
That means that they have an advantage in it. Edge on those who are playing by the rules.
You know, Prometheus means of thinking before. Forethought, exactly. Yeah. You gotta think before. You gotta be clever. You're gonna get away with a crime. You gotta understand what's gonna happen next. You gotta predict the outcome. You gotta know, you know, before what you do. What you gonna do, you watch, you change, you look, you think. So, being criminal is, it means you gotta think ahead, you have forethought. Yeah, you don't do that, you're just gonna get caught.
Criminal was one of the questions of the validity of the social convention.
You think, you're thinking before? What's going on, you look good, part.
And so, you can see how built into criminal activity is a fundamental advantage in terms of the mode of operation. That goes beyond just the immediate advantage of getting something.
The human mind.
With the exception of the risk.
Put your mind, you put it somewhere else. Someone new. Use imagination.
The human mind.
Something no one else think about. Totally different thing now. That's the criminal mind.
The criminal mind.
Ideally, based upon conception of the common good. But it doesn't usually work like that.
The criminal mind.
That's the way they go about doing that. That's the way that they do that thing. There's that pattern. There's a law. There's the way it's done.
The human mind.
Look close. See what's going on. You make go.
You get an idea.
No way. The human mind
is a criminal mind.
If I think ahead of that guy, I could be where he is before he gets
there. You take yourself away from what you see now, and you think what happened next.
One step ahead.
And then you get
a jump start.
You have a feeling.
Early bird.
The fire.
Because it's not enough to just get there early. You gotta have a trick. It's hocus pocus.
If you're right, then you have advantage.
So, you got the fire.
Advantage.
Ding.
Man wants to survive.
Think ahead.
To differentiate.
This is great.
All kinds of things are possible.
Man is an animal, a criminal animal.
What is likely to happen?
He is a...
What is not likely to happen?
Criminal against the gods.
What is beneficial?
He's a criminal against the nature.
What is not beneficial?
He's a criminal against his own nature.
What can I get away with?
Thinking ahead is the criminal mind.
Tricks of the trade.
What can I not get away with?
Every business has one.
When following the rules is no longer beneficial to the society, it becomes necessary that the society have an element within it, the criminal element, that will break the rules and make it possible for there to be change within the system.
Man's power over nature comes from his criminality.
The little things you gotta know in order to make it work. Not part of the official doctrine.
With fire in his hands, man can see that his actions resemble those of the gods.
So it's important for people to realize that
tricks of the trade.
Criminal activity actually serves a useful social function.
Crime is a mode of survival.
Without it, we would have systems that would continue in place.
You can call it cutting corners.
Well, that would no longer serve their function, and which would ultimately cause the demise of social
code. Call it insider information.
Yesterday's crimes become today's rule of law.
You can call it shrewdness.
It's a revitalization that you see through criminal activity.
You can call it hard,
which is admittedly undesirable,
the hard reality.
But at the same time, it has this feature.
Break into real living.
Which does bring a renewal.
You can call
a two social form.
Criminal activity.
Man judges himself for making his own rules.
Man is in no position to judge. In this business, you got three basic types.
Three primary modes of criminal activity.
You got the criminal who
there's the crime against nature.
Steals.
There's the crime against humanity.
Because of necessity.
And then there's the common crime.
They have to. Or at least they think they have to.
The common crime is a personal offense.
They don't have any other way. They don't know any other way. Maybe they do have another way. I don't know.
This is the crime which is most often punished.
That's why they do it. They feel like they have to.
And the crime against humanity, which is
basic survival,
often not punished and quiet, and even sometimes lauded.
And then you got the ones.
It's characterized
by
a large scale, either genocide or destruction of a whole way of life.
They can't get enough.
The ability of a certain group of people to live.
They commit a criminal act for the sake of the criminal act. They're devoted, and there's nothing that will stop that kind of criminal except death. Man possessed by his possession. One more type, very strange. There's a criminal type who makes a crime because they believe in something. This is he's like a Robin Hood.
It's worth noting that there's a relationship
the
between the common criminal and the common good.
Because they believe a different law.
Which is to say that when the common
not
good
for
is,
themselves,
not, is not part of the social contract.
But because they feel
the common criminal rises
that the law is not just.
Because if society does not take care of its own, it's going to have members within it.
And so they
are divergent with its
follow their own law.
Its general stated interests. We've taken whatever we want from nature.
This is the type of crime which was originally understood to be a crime, but over the course of time, as these crimes are providing. Crime against nature.
Thinking ahead.
Is really the mother of all crimes.
Making something so perfect.
We are the kleptomaniacs.
That it could not survive by itself.
It's essentially appropriation of non-renewable resources.
The things most perfect are most fragile.
As adversity dictates, admissibility follows.
Crazy something diverges from another.
The things most fragile tend to break.
And destruction
things
of,
which break
of natural cycles
give room
as
the
environmental systems weaken and become more erratic and less reliable.
Wherever there is
this
birth,
kind of criminality will be considered to be the most serious of all.
Something is breaking,
or else there'll be little chance that that humanity will be able to continue.
The fire is the center around which we gather.
The crazy world lives by some kind of ideal.
The fire in the center, and the fire at the edge. The fire in the center at the belly of man.
Well, this is the beginnings of the back and forth that we see between different types of societies.
Each path leads to its opposite.
Feeds.
Whereupon there's a group who are benefiting by law, and those who are not
the
benefiting.
The fire at the edge protects.
And the ones who are not benefiting
separates us.
Have a tendency to be in far less desirable circumstance, and therefore they tend to work a lot harder in order to find a way to change them.
The fire in the center, and the fire that is sent
those
out.
Who are in a position of comfort.
The fire in the center.
Unless they're extremely vigilant.
And the fire that's sent out.
Have a tendency to grow weaker. And so therefore you see
these are the two that come from the one.
A way in which social order.
The fire in the center.
Have a tendency to create circumstances under which
protects us.
The weak become strong through hardship.
The fire in the center.
And the strong become weak through comfort. And they have a tendency to switch places.
Gives us warmth.
When there is some kind of revolution or major social upheaval or when some aspects of social rule and law are overturned.
The fire in the center weakens us.
Or
the fire at the edge protects
in the
us.
Where a criminal obtains a position of power.
The fire at the edge.
The success of their venture.
Puts us at risk.
They then can become part of that institution, and sometimes it will flip entirely, and the uprising, whatever it may be, will become the new order.
The fire in the belly.
Sometimes it's just a facet within that social structure that becomes part of
the fire.
But quite
eyes.
Often it is true that those who engage in some kind of devious,
when things start to
devious
burn,
thought and action,
the one becomes the two.
It is those individuals who engage in that kind of thing which do eventually
the
come to the fore.
Becomes firepower.
And rise to become the next who will enjoy themselves and become weak.
And the hearth warms us.
These regulations
and
will periodically
us.
Cumber more than they will provide.
These are the two.
They can be resistant to change.
One.
That would be beneficial. And quite often they end up outlasting their usefulness when they only serve a small minority.
Each of these
usually
a
small minority
into themselves.
Happens to be a powerful minority. And that explains the reason they continue.
The one that protects can turn against.
We can say that in general there's an implicit dysfunctionality within rule of law.
The fire that we send
that can be
out
mapped to changes within a relationship of society to the larger
and
environment.
The fire inside starts to burn.
And it's worth noting that to some extent the criminal activity is something which has an inverse relationship.
Fire cannot be controlled.
With the social relationship to the environment. And quite often,
unacceptable or criminal activity within social form makes more sense outside of the social form.
Man, you bite the hand that feeds you.
Prometheus wanted to make man perfect.
If you're dealing with the domain of society within nature, the behavior starts to make more sense. Although it can be catastrophic to the actual social institution itself.
So he went and stole the fire from the gods and brought it down to man. And now man uses that fire so he can get what he wants. He's thinking ahead. But he doesn't realize that by thinking ahead, he's actually destroying the future.
Crime against nature.
He does bring his mind into the future means he's losing connection with what's happening.
He is a crime against humanity.
And so he doesn't see that the use of the fire is deteriorating everything around him.
We can say that the criminality within society is a reflection of the criminality of humanity in total with respect to its environment.
And everything is coming undone because of this.
The center around which we gather.
The artist is the liaison between lawful society and the criminal world.
Everyone pays for their crime.
The criminal mind enters the system
with which we ward off the night. Its glow the perimeter.
It's time.
Beyond which.
Entertainment of criminals.
Make your own determination.
Becomes popularized in the citizenry. When the attitude of the criminal is manifest within the citizen.
And so, a good case can be made, for, when the circumstances are such that there are, significant erosion of social structures that are no longer functioning properly. The rules and customs are no longer fulfilling their promise. Instead of doing what what societies normally do, which is to crack down and to give even more stiff penalty to criminal activity, the most adaptive and logical approach would be to encourage criminal activity at that time to for there to be less friction in terms of the necessity of maintaining order at the same time of adapting to change.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, throw us a bone by subscribing to this channel, visiting our social media pages, and hitting the various like, love, and clap buttons. We welcome all comments, criticisms, and random thoughts. Our email is silentassembly@protonmail.com. And if you want to be an angel, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/silentassembly. We look forward to serving you again soon. In the meantime, remember, turn that thing over a few times before you pick it up and take it home.